Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning, November 2nd. Can you believe we are already in November? It seems so hard to believe, doesn't it? The way time is flying. Well, I just wanted to start church off this morning with an encouraging word. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. Selah. But I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto you in a time when thou may be found. Because surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. You are our hiding place. You shall preserve us from trouble. You shall compass us about with songs of deliverance. Selah, which means think on this. This is God talking back to us. Okay? I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. But be not as the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. So isn't that beautiful this morning that the Lord is encouraging us? Because Pastor's sermon today is about returning to our first love, remembering our first love and why we got saved. Who is this God that we really, truly surrendered to? And for us not to forget him today. So I want to start off by giving a little side note to all of you that are listening from all over the world. First of all, I do want to repent again for accidentally deleting the sermon last week. I was devastated. I cried because I treasure these words from our pastor, and I don't take it lightly at all what he does and who he is. So last week just completely devastated me, and I just really want to repent to the church out there. But secondly, you know, with all that's going on in the world right now, with the food stamp crisis that's going on, you know, to me, it's a manufactured deal, you know, to try to get people to be loyal to the beast in this hour, you know, trying to get people to appreciate what he offers, basically is what's happening. Because he's dangling a carrot. That's what he's doing. He's letting all these people that are dependent upon the arm of the beast to provide, and he's showing them, without me, what do you have? You know, And this is our opportunity to encourage others. You know, this is where your faith muscle is going to have to rise. You know, we will partner with you for sure in prayer, you know, and we will help you to have faith, because this is where it's going, folks, because in the coming days, they're going to require something for this loyalty. They're building up and building their case why you need to choose the beast over God. So if anybody in our church out there that's listening, if you are going through hard times and you're really struggling in your faith right now, I encourage you to text us, email us. Our texting number is 731-733-0532. We are a very accessible ministry. Text us and let us know what's going on. At least allow us to stay in your life. Don't push us away. This is not the time for people, as the pressure gets on and the pressure mounts, which is what we're experiencing, for you to pull away from the church. This is the time for everybody to pull closer, you know, pull in tight, you know, so we can hold your arms up and pray, because if people cannot endure right now, what are they going to do when it's in your face, you know, Jesus or nothing? So we need to build our spiritual muscles right now and build our spiritual faith, you know, because it's going to get worse, unfortunately, you know. And so if any of you want to talk to us or anything, you know, we are accessible and we do love you and we want you to be successful. That this is what our ministry, while we are different than other ministries, okay, we are preparing you, you know, to endure, to suffer, to go all the way. Endure to the end, win your race, run your race, you know, stay afloat, trust in the Lord, you know. So we just want to let you know that we are here for you and that we are accessible, and don't push us away, run to us, you know. Let's see. We did open up the prayer line Monday through Thursday now. Instead of just Monday through Wednesday, it is now Monday through Thursday. So we encourage you guys to call in if you need prayer or anything. The prayer lines are open, okay? We also started the My Health Matters. We're still going full force. I think we've been doing it now 2 months. I've been doing it since May, but, you know, for everybody else to join with me, 2 months. And now, Dr. Jill, she had to leave because she's, you know, getting ready to become a professor. She's just very busy. But we just moved it back into the main band, and it's all free, and we're just working out together. So we do workouts 4 days a week, and then we have a meeting on Mondays, you know, kind of like a group counseling for anybody who wants to call in at 10 o'clock and talk about their journey or any questions, and, you know, just for everybody to share on the matters of health. You know, it's basically a support group, because we have got to pull together, you know, we've got to work on getting our body under discipline so that we can endure, you know. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was telling me that in Florida, what they feed people in jail in Florida is they give them those powdered eggs in the morning, no meat. Every now and then they get a piece of sausage, but it's not real, you know. They said you could tell it's like the soy sausage. And then for lunch, all they get is a piece of bologna and 2 pieces of white bread. that most of the time is smashed and junk. You know, which in our normal life, we would not even touch these things. You know what I mean? But the point is we've got to be ready to fast. We've got to be ready to endure, you know, and to be able to fight what the enemy is going to try to throw in front of us is what I'm trying to tell you. So I encourage you guys in that. And if you do have a local church, we do encourage everybody to have a local church. We see people like Miss Darlene that's very active in their church. I love seeing her videos, you know, of her singing and teaching and just being real active. We highly encourage that. You know, this is why we do our church. We used to do church at 10 o'clock, but we realize that people need local fellowship if they can. Some people do not have any option, okay? But if they can, and, you know, they know most churches are NAR, but, I mean, it's still people love the Lord type of deal. You know, you just have to eat the meat and spit out the bones type of deal the best you can. But if it's, there's only some cautions that I want to give everybody about going to a local church. There's only a couple of things I just want you to consider, that where the line is drawn that you know that you cannot go any further. One is that the churches, the majority of the churches in the United States, are getting funding from the government for surveillance. This would be a no-go, okay? Because it's allowing the beast eyes in. And they're doing it in the name of security, you know. But they're also working with FEMA. You know, there's an agreement being made for them to get these grants, believe me. Maybe, you know, whenever in time of disaster, their church is used as a location. Or, you know, some of these churches are being asked to turn over lists, you know. So that would just be a no-go. Another one would be United Nations funding, as we see a lot of these ministries online are doing. You know, they're helping people with food, but they're getting their materials from the United Nations. That would be a no-go. So I just encourage you to find out if they're involved with the White House Faith Team, if they're involved with the Faith Alliance, if they're involved with FEMA, are they getting the money, grants from them, type of deal. Those are the only things. Most everything else, you know, because you can seek the Lord on your own type of deal. You just need the fellowship and, you know, you can hear the Lord type of deal. So that's my encouraging word on that today. That's my encouraging word, you know, that if you visit a local church, you know, that you just go talk to your pastor and find out, you know, are they involved in the faith team at the White House? Are they involved in the association? Are they getting grants from the government, grants from FEMA, grants from the United Nations, et cetera? And then research what they tell you, you know. That's my only encouragement about visiting a local church is, you know, be smart about it, you know, because a lot of them are getting the grants so that they can bring the beast eyes through cameras and sensors inside the church building, which is a big no-go. Okay. Okay. I guess that's all of the notes and all of the information that I need to give you this morning before we start worship. And just to reiterate one more time, we're always available for you guys in this time. You know, just keep us in. You know, keep us in communication. Text us. Let us know what's going on. You know, so that we can pray with you and agree with you. Partner with heaven, because there is power in prayer. Although we're not together where we can lay hands on you and hug you and, you know, give you the affection that you need, we can still do that online through prayers and agreement. Okay, so I just want us to keep that communication line open between us, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so since Pastor's sermon today is on remembering your first love, you know, I want us to sing this song this morning called How He Loves Me. And the guy that's famous for singing this song is the David Crowder Band. So that may, you know, kind of ring a bell about what this song is. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for being with us this morning on November the 2nd, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that although we see all these things coming and you have helped us to see, Lord, the plots and plans of the enemy so that we can prepare our house like Joseph and prepare our hearts for what is coming in the future, Lord. We trust in you, Lord, as our guide and as our protector, that you have went before us, like kind of scouted out what the enemy's doing out there, and you are preparing, coming back to us and reporting and preparing and helping us, Lord, to be able to endure till the end. Because we know, Lord, that all this that's happening is just temporary. It's all, this world is going to be just a fleeting moment, and we're going to be prayerfully standing on the streets of gold with the joy that will be forever and ever, and no more suffering and sorrow like what we are experiencing in this temporal world that we're living in, God. So this morning, as we gather across the world, Lord, we are standing together in unity, Lord, before the throne this morning. And we're just in love and adoration of you this morning, Lord, for you are so worthy to be praised in spite of all this, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, that today we're safe. Today we are able to be online. Today we show our gratitude to our Heavenly Father. All the times that you have done miracles for us and provided for us, and we remember you, Lord. We will not forget. And Lord, as the pastor preaches today about remembering our first love, we pray, Lord, that you reach down in all of our souls and you pull out that darkness, Lord. Pull out that junk so that we can return as an innocent, pure bride to the one that we really love, Lord. That our eyes will turn around to you and be affixed upon you today, Lord. But we're choosing this morning to take this time to worship you, Lord, in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he loves me and made me whole. All right, what about this song? Y'all remember this song? This is The Air I Breathe. Oh, this is one of the Mo Vineyard songs, you know, way back from the 90s. But this song is when I first found my love on a very real basis. This song just took me there. So let's sing this morning. This is the air I breathe. Remember this? This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. Isn't this beautiful? Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. See, in the future, when if we have to go to prison, remember what I told you a minute ago about that story of the man that's in the prison and all he gets is a bologna, a piece of bologna and two pieces of white, rough-looking bread. This is my daily bread. This is when we're going to have to really believe what we're singing. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Oh, I just praise the Lord this morning. I just praise Him this morning. I remember so many times of God being there when I felt like I was in hell. Through many sufferings, you know, that I've been through in my lifetime. And you too, I'm sure. But in the coming days, we're going to have to remember, you know, the promises of God. And, you know, the miracles that He has done for us before. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. If you may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. Our Father, He knows what I need. My Father, He knows what I need. So I'll just stand by and watch Him provide. And my Father, He knows what I need. All right. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. This is my encouraging word to you guys this morning. If you get a chance, go back and read the scripture that we read this morning in Psalm 32. And the last verse, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Remember that the Noahide laws, they want to call everybody righteous over there. Righteous Noahide. You know why that is? Because in this scripture where it says rejoice, be glad in the Lord, you righteous, it's because it's right living. You are living according to God's laws and God's precepts. Whereas in the Noahide laws are teaching people to walk in their precepts. So they're righteous, Noahide, a living right according to the laws of this Jews that say they're Jews and are not. That's a righteous Noahide. You see what I mean? All right. So let's get Pastor on here. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear what you got to preach this morning.
Okay. I'm hoping I don't chop this up too much because I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, but.
No worries. No worries. You got the floor, sir.
Okay. Thank you. She sang that song, This is the Air We Breathe. And that's one of my favorite songs also. And probably, you know, when I first got born again and started praising the Lord and was in a good church, you know, non-denominational church and stuff. And that was one of the songs that we sang a lot, and a few other ones by Michael W. Smith that I really, really like. And So praise the Lord. And then June is kind of titled this, Remembering Your First Love. And I want to add to that, remembering your first love and be not deceived. You know, the Noahides, you know, what are they doing? That's all about deception. And we're just going to, I'm just going to share some scriptures and from Galatians. So you could turn to Galatians already, but and I've got a, those of you who have been listening the last few weeks, I've been reading the, this one other book, and I come to something he was saying in there. And when I was thinking about it, pondering about it, something else come in me that's totally just, I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And when I started reading it and then start studying some scriptures, and it led me, you know, away from this book, you might say, into a different message. But what he said brought up something else in me, and that's the point I'm going to make towards the end of, it's just very interesting. And I shared that with June, and she just like, wow. So, and it all has to do with, I shouldn't say all, but in Galatians 3:1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You know, and we could just say, oh, foolish church in America, our churches, who hath bewitched you? Because we're seeing this bewitching. And it's been a while back, and I did a message on this, and but this is going in a different direction to point out something that come to me. And but we want to read this a little bit more. You know, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, you know, this book of Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. You know, in bold, clear strokes, you might say, the Apostle Paul reveals how grace frees the Christian from law. Not that we might sin, but that we might discover, you know, a new power for righteous living through faith and the Holy Spirit. As June mentioned, righteous living, you know, through faith and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, you know, in the truth. You know, truth is what sets you free. You know, this book was written to meet a great need in the early church, and if not, even more today. Wherever Paul went and established churches, he was trailed by Judaizers. Remember that word. These were Jews, sometimes Jewish believers, who came to the newly founded churches and taught that to be a real Christian, one must submit to the Old Testament law and in fact convert to Judaism. You know, this did have a certain logic. You know, Jesus was a Jew. And the roots of Christianity were undoubtedly Jewish. So many new Christians followed the teachings of the Judaizers. But Paul, you know, rejected their faith works gospel. Their faith works gospel. And, you know, and he writes urgently to explain why mixing works with faith robs the gospel of its power in the new, you know, in the believer's life. You know what? Maybe the power to discern. Be not deceived. You know, and when Paul writes this letter, to me, it's like he's ticked off. You know, Paul is ticked off. Because why? Why do I say that? Well, let's read this once. Galatians, we already read the first verse, but let's read again. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Is that not a question? That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath, you know, who set forth crucified among you. You know, he's asking him the question. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Question mark. Again, he's asking another question. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Question. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He's asking him again. Look at all these questions. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? You know, there's another question. Verse 5, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Another question. So he's got all these questions he's asking the Galatians, you know. Come on, you know. To me, it's like he's ticked off, you know. And so when we go down, let's go down to verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore, they which are of faith are the same, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would have justified the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What nations? All nations. Not just that one over there, you know, across the ocean. You know, not just Israel or Egypt or any other country. No, it says here, in thee, in Christ, all nations be blessed. Take note. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Ain't that awesome? We are blessed, you know, when we be of faith. Faith in what? Calvary, what Jesus did on that cross for us. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. When I read that last night, I thought, wow. What is this saying? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for all that you've done for us. When you hung on that cross, Lord, you set us free from the sin of law. You set us free from sickness, disease, calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us in Jesus' name. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that promise, that we can receive the Spirit through faith by trusting in Christ alone, not no man, not no law. Now I'm going to skip down here to verse 21. No, wait a minute. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Hallelujah. We believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That's the New Testament. You know, it's been revealed. You know, we're not under the law. Wherefore, verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Who is all children of God? Ye all are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. You know, Paul was ticked off. And in this whole book of Galatians is Paul, you know, pressing into these people saying, hey, look, you know, you're not under the law. You're disobedient, you know. But here it says, oh, foolish.
Pastor.
Yes.
Do you mind if I interject something, sir?
Okay.
When you think about Paul and what he is addressing to the Galatians about the law and about what is happening in his culture, it's so amazing. Considering that is exactly happening exactly at the end of days.
Yep.
It's so amazing.
I know it. And that's why when you read this and it's just like, wow, is this not today? Can't we see this? And that's why we're going to get into something right now here that why can't people see this? And it's just like then. What does he say? Oh, foolish Galatians. O foolish churches in America, who have bewitched you? And so, you know, bewitched, what does that mean? It means to deceive or delude by satanic and demonic power. You know, delude, what does that mean? It means to deceive the mind or the or judgment of. People can't make right judgment. They can't discern good and evil. You know, they're deceived, you know, by satanic and demonic powers. And, you know, I'm just boldly saying, I believe that, you know, not only the church, but the world is being led astray by these satanic and demonic powers today, now. You know, the government, I mean, do I dare say mega? What is that? It's witchcraft. That's the highest order of satanic witchcraft. And here, bewitched, be not, you know, who has bewitched you? There's a serious bewitching going on. You know, Galatians were under what? A delusion. You know, and what's, you know, when I read this, I looked this up in the dictionary, delusion, a fixed belief maintained in the face of indisputable evidence to the contrary. Wow. You know?
Say that again.
Okay. Delusion. Now, what are we seeing out there in the world now? This fixed belief that they're pushing on people. Remember this, a fixed belief maintained in the face of indisputable evidence to the contrary. And remember that right there, because when I bring up something that I seen, you're gonna go, wow. You know, in 1 Samuel, let's turn, I'm already there, to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, and we're gonna read in 2 Peter 3, the latter part of it is about repentance defined, okay? But in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You know? But let's go up to verse 3, I'm sorry. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Oh, don't worry, you know, Jesus ain't coming yet. It ain't that time. You know, we're going to take back, you know, all this that the government stole from the church. And yeah, let's be all one happy family. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So even back then, you know, he's talking about now in the last days. People are willingly ignorant. Ignorant of what? The truth. Whereby the world and then was being overflowed with water perished. You know, he's talking about Moses, you know, when he crossed the water, you know, and they're apparently saying that didn't happen or whatever. But verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That word perdition, destruction of ungodly men. But beloved, verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You know, do not forget, you know, what God said back then is still due today, you know, and it's like, this is almost, I don't even know how to say it, but, you know, the delusion of the unreliable twist of scriptures. If we go, let's go up to verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now I want to go back up to that verse 16, because it says, they that are unlearned and unstable rest. And in my Bible, it's got a footnote. It says unreliable twist. You know, unreliable twisting of the truth, twisting scriptures. And you know, when we see these people in, you know, in these big movements, you know, going on, and how they're speaking half truths and twisting scriptures, you know, and it's just amazing that people don't see this. And here it is. It's a warning. Beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. These people up here giving the news and all these movements, this do I dare even give names and stuff, which you that follow us know. There are warnings about the twisting of scriptures. Bewitched. They're being bewitched. You know, in 1 Samuel. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. I think I had it marked. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Verse, let's see here. And this is about, you know, God rejects Saul. And here's what Samuel, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You know, his question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of God, of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. So You know, Saul rejected the word from the Lord. You know, it's rebellion. Just like it says here, is as the sin of witchcraft. You know, rejecting the truth, rejecting the word of God, twisting the scripture. You know, and Paul expresses amazement, you know, that they have turned so quickly to different gospel, to one which is perversive of truth. You know, it's just crazy. Here it is right here in Galatians. He's talking about today, you know. You know, witchcraft is equated with the spirit of rebellion because both are seen as acts of rejecting God's authority and attempting to control situations apart from his will. Witchcraft is viewed as a practice that seeks power and control through the eternal dark means. This understanding extends to any attempt to manipulate others, use fear, or twist scripture for personal gain, identifying these as acts of fleshly witchcraft. To manipulate others, what, for personal gain? That was from one of my, that was from my Bible dictionary. The spirit of rebellion. Let's see here. Now I'm gonna go back to this book that I was, that we've been, the last couple weekends, have been going through, just, you know, touching things on how to stop the pain. And this is something that he said in here that brought me to this. And when I start thinking about it, is something that I do want to share with you guys. That I guess is the main message here. You know, be not deceived. And anyway, I want to read this. This is the God of my world. And it's about control is not an option. In the original temptation in the Garden of Eden, Adam was offered the opportunity to be God of his world. We find this desire at the heart of many of our personal conflicts. Subtly and embedded in our motives, you know, our thoughts and our feelings that makes one act. Of course, none of us thinks we are exercising this as a prerogative, you know, as it's a right that we have, you know. No Christian would dare set himself up as God. Yet it happens daily. The moment I judge or control, I have set myself up as God. And I want to stop there. And he, what does he say here? He says, the moment I judge or control. And what was we saying about witchcraft? It tries to control people. You know, you set yourself up as God. The God of any system is the one who determines what is good and what is evil. So instead of accepting God's determination of good and evil, we look at the person, what the person did, then ask ourselves why he did it. Then based on why we think he did it, we determine it to be good or evil. That journey into judgment is the act of enthroning ourselves as God of our system. We all have our own world system. It is the system we use to attempt to control our environment. Our world system, not only do we have the right to judge, but our judgment also gives us the right to control, to manipulate, to deceive, you might say. Naturally, we have good intentions in our desire to control. We really think that if the other person gave us control, we could make his or her life much better. Wow, I'm going to stop there. And just think, this bewitching that's going on right now, you know, oh, it's going to make life so much better. Everything's going to be good. All's going to be, you know, we're going to take back the government. We're going to, you know, make America great again. No. Those intentions are usually based on our judgments. However, it is essential that we realize control is never a suitable option. To be blunt, control is a form of witchcraft. Paul told the Galatian believers they had been bewitched, Galatians 3:1. They had been brought under the control of Judaizers. Of course, the Judaizers had justification for their control. In their minds, they were acting on behalf of God. You know, these Judaizers. I'm going to stop there from reading for a minute. You know, and remember, I told you, remember that Judaizers. These Judaizers, you know, they think they had, you know, a fact or the circumstances that justifies, you know, they've got a good reason why they, you know, they can control, you know, in their minds, they think they're right. And that they were, you know, acting on behalf of God, but they weren't. The problem is God never uses control to accomplish his will. He never uses control to accomplish his will in the earth. He works through the hearts of people. He leads and instructs us as the children he loves. If control was God's method, he would solve the world's problem in one decisive act. You know, he doesn't use control to accomplish his will. And that's as far as I'm going to read there. You know, we have a soul, a mind, a will, and an emotion. And our will, you know, we have a free choice to choose. So there's so many emotions that come up, you know, everything. You hear something and emotions get stirred up. Well, you have a free will to do what you're going to do with that. And God give us each a free will. Now, here's what I want to, I guess, point out. When I was reading this, I thought, wow, Judaizers. What do? They're deceivers. They want to control Christians. They want to take over. They want to, you know, and what do they call Christians today in America? Judeo-Christians? That's a deception. We're not Judeo-Christians. I mean, this hit me. I'm like, wow. That's why they stuck that Judeo in front of Christian. At least that's what I'm saying.
That's some good preaching, honey. That is no. A fact. We are not Judeo-Christians.
Judeo. And I looked this is going to freak blow you away. So I looked at, I just did a Google thing of Judeo-Christian. It said, this is what it says, refers to a shared religious and cultural heritage between Judaism and Christianity, particularly in the terms of shared scripture, moral principles, and historic values. I'm going to stop there. Ain't that twisted? You know, we don't have a shared, you know, as these Judaizers, you know, we don't share the same moral principles as a Christian. And I was going to do, you know, do more research and, you know, they believe this, 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 and well, we believe this, this, and this, but I didn't. But I'm like, I don't come into agreement with that. We don't have the same historical values as these Judaizers. Do we? We don't have the same moral principles as these Judaizers. The way we read scriptures is not the way they read the scriptures. They're trying to bring everybody under the law. That's Judeo-Christians. They're being
Pastor,
brought
can
under
I read,
the law.
Can I read something real quick?
Sure.
While you're talking, I was looking online about what they're saying is the official definition, and look at here, it says criticism and debates, inaccuracy. Critics argue the term creates a false sense of unity by overlooking fundamental differences, most notably the Christian belief in Jesus as the Messiah, which Judaism does not accept.
Yep.
So how can we be in unison here?
Yep, I was going to bring that point up here right
All
shortly.
Right. Okay, very good.
Okay, the term is used to group the two faiths together. Did you hear that? The term is used to group the two faiths together, emphasizing Christianity's derivation from Judaism and common ethical foundations like the Ten Commandments and the idea of the Golden Rule. Does that make you think of anybody? Can we say Trump's Golden Age? And who's he? However, its usage is also debated with some viewing it as a useful term for shared foundation, while others argue it is inaccurate, oversimplified, or even used to create divisions. Divisions. Is that the divisions for the religious sect, if I want to say? Just like Democrats and Republicans was created for division in the government. Wow. The term Judeo-Christian, you know, and June just mentioned something about critics, debates and criticisms, oversimplification. Critics argue that the term oversimplifies both religions by downplaying their significant theological differences. Amen. Historical context, the term Judeo-Christian gained prominence in the 20th century to promote religious inclusion in the United States and to fight against anti-Semitism and anti-Catholicism, but its use has been associated with othering and exclusion. Wow. Divisive implications. As Christianity and Judaism have evolved, developed gradually, have grown apart, some scholars argue that the term is no longer an accurate representative of their relationship. And I'm going to stop there for a minute. Representatives of their relationship. And this book, How to Stop the Pain, Pain is Inevitable, Suffering is Option. It's all about relationship. You know, what you say, how you say it, what you say to someone else, how they take it, what someone says to you, how you take it. This is about relationships. How to have a good relationship. How to build a relationship. How not to let your heart be deceived. How not to have a hardened heart. And what was our thing? Guard your heart. I got that written right here. Guard your heart. Relationships. Philippians 3, verse 2 and 3. Relationship to the Trinity. Worship God in the Spirit while rejoicing in Christ Jesus. It's about relationship. It's not about controlling someone. It's not about deceiving someone. It's not about being bewitched. Judaism does not accept Jesus as the Son of God and fulfillment of the prophecies in the New Testament Bible. Does not recognize Jesus' divinity and resurrection. You know, and here we have it. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? You know, in Luke 11, let's turn to Luke 11. Luke 11. Here it is. And this is Jesus. Luke 11. Let's see here. Where's the scripture? Verses 37 through 54. It's the the last scriptures of Luke 11. It says, let's go down to verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, how do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness? Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe to you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. You know, this is the law, the lawmakers and the priest, you know. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also? And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye have laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Wow. I'm going to read that again. What are they doing right now? They're trying to take away, people's welfare and what's the other thing that they're calling it? They're, Woe unto you also, lawyers.
Snap.
Huh?
Snap.
Yeah, okay. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, you politicians, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens of the one your fingers. You know, they don't care if people out there are having burdens. They don't care if people are starving. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchers of the prophets, and your fathers killed them, the tombs. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchers. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. And some of them they shall slay and persecute, excuse me. You know, there were prophets and apostles that went out to speak the truth, sharing the truth, drawing people to the truth. And what he's saying, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. You know, it's just, we're seeing this happen right now. And, you know, this bewitching, this Judeo-Christianity is under, you know, I just don't know. Anyway, you know, there's other scriptures about the false Jews, and I'm not going to read these. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to make this short today. But if you read Revelation 2, verses 9, and then Revelation 3, verse 9, talks about the false Jews. Romans 2, 28 through 29. Romans 9, 6 through 8. John 8, verse 44. You know, he's talking about these false Jews bearing false witness, using one's faith as a weapon against others and a shield from the repercussions of the former, you know, against your faith. Galatians 3, you know, verses 7 through 9, not physical, but spiritual. Romans 4, 11 through 12, you know, it's about the circumcision of the heart. What do we say? Guard your heart. We all have to guard our hearts. Amen. You know, praise in my last thought here says, praise God for the circumcision not made with hands, but of the heart. And Lord, so we just thank you right now, Lord, that you would sanctify our hearts, Lord. Cleanse our hearts from iniquity and religious spirits, Lord. Oh, Father, your word says that only the pure in heart shall see God, Lord. We want our hearts purified and sanctified, Lord, so that what we speak and while we talk to others and share the good news to other, Lord, that it'll come from a pure heart, Lord. A heart that's been refined. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you today, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your word will guide us and lead us on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, that's my message or my thoughts for today. June may have some other thoughts on this, and she's welcome to express. And
thank you, Pastor.
And we can do some prayer.
Yes. So. Now, just to let you guys know, we do open up the prayer calls now after church. We stopped the recording, but if you would like prayer or to have your thoughts about anything, or, you know, just want to give an encouraging word or whatever, we encourage you to stay on the line after we finish service this morning. Now, Pastor, I want to go back to your final thought where you said that the circumcision is made with the heart now and not with the hands. Okay, this is the big difference between faith in Jesus in the new covenant versus the old covenant. The old covenant, which Paul specifically talks about, is the law.
Right.
It is made with the hands. It is works. That's why Paul talks about works, okay? So when you talk about the circumcision now is made with the heart, that is the whole point of the second covenant. The
right.
Second covenant Amen. Is all by the heart. Because Jesus says, not only do I come to fulfill the law, but I come to bring it to the heart of the matter. You say you commit adultery, but I say your eyes have committed adultery. It's a matter of the heart now. You know, Jesus doesn't do away with the law per se. He makes it deeper. It's deeper because now it's a circumcision of the heart. What is circumcision? It's cutting away.
Amen.
It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a purity of the motives, you know, a purity of the bride. So I just want to say this, Pastor, that some comments in the chat is talking about how bold you have become over the years. You're very bold and you articulate, you know, so well. And we just really appreciate the anointing that's on your life. It's every Sunday we're on the edge of our seat. I mean, it's like you're the best pastor I've ever had for one. But I'm on the edge of my seat every week just waiting to hear, you know, how God is going to use you to speak into our lives because you are bold. You know, you address the culture of today without fear. And you understand, you know, the consequences that could come our way because of speaking against the beast and against the powers that be. You know what I mean? So anyway, for you to address today as well, the situation of Judeo-Christian, that's a big one. Because I've been telling you guys how I've been wanting to tackle that beast of a subject called, you know, the replacement theology that they are going to throw Christians in jail for, but not Muslims. Muslims that they are in war with right now, and actually talking about going to war with Iran now, you know, because of these radical Muslims. And even President Trump is going after Nigeria because the radical Muslims over there are killing Christians like crazy. You know what I mean? So the thing is, though, is that the Jews and the Muslims are merging together in the name of the economy, in the name of prosperity. It's called peace through strength. And that's what that means is, you know, they're coming together in the name of economy so they can make money, but in the unison against the real church. You know, so this is why this ministry specifically lets you know where we stand and gives the scriptures to back it up. And that's what Pastor is telling you guys today about this Judeo-Christian battle that's going on in our country, which you hear, you know, almost every day whenever they're talking, they'll mention Judeo-Christian because that has to do with their agenda to move into the Noahide laws is through Judeo-Christian. And for this ministry, we do not stand with that. And Pastor made it very clear that we are not in agreement with that. And we do not accept it because, like he stated, and it is a fact, they do not accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So there's no way that, you know, lightness can come in agreement with darkness, you know. Not that we're saying, you know, that God is done with the Jews. Definitely not that. And we're not stating anything about their land per se either. I mean, it is what it is. You know, they're over there. They're claiming this. That's between them and God. So we're not, you know, saying it shouldn't exist or anything like that, because that's what they want to say, is that we, you know, are really trashing them. No, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying that, you know, Jesus, he's the only way to heaven. He's the only door. There is no other covenant that is still alive. It's only Jesus. He's the only way. This is why we cannot have the Judeo title over us. And when you look at it, the shared things that they have in common, it's not doctrine. You know, so this is why we don't, you know, get involved with the White House organization or anything like that, because they want you to dumb down your doctrine, and they want you to partner with all these other religions and basically hang Jesus on the cross again. So we're not doing that. Okay, so because of that, because of our position that, you know, we're not going to enter into Web3, because this is the new economy that God already warned us about. He's already given us keys, you know, to look forward to and to let us know the no-goes. And that is one of the no-goes, is the digital economy, the digital money that they're building on the back of blockchain, which is the blockchain is basically the backbone. It's the spine of the beast, you know. So, you know, at least we, you know, as a ministry, we let you guys know where we stand, and we realize the price that we're going to have to pay in the very near future. But we truly, truly believe that soon and very soon we're going to be standing. You know, that's our only hope. You know, so anyways, I just want to thank you, Pastor. And yes, we definitely will not be coexisting. We will not water down the gospel. And that's what they're doing when they mix with all these people and they, you know, do all this. You know, even though they try to get up there and pray and act like, no, God is nowhere to be found. And I have battled this since day one. You know, I've been with President Trump, I just realized this, 10 years next year. It'll be 10 years. I was with him in 2016 in Nashville, covering him in the press box. You know, I had a big camera back then and was so surprised that I was able to be up there with him and film him, you know, on his campaign trail. So the point that I'm trying to say is that we know what we're up against, and we know the price that may be required, you know, because of our position to stand against this, especially with the anti-Semitism. Now, I did put it on the website. I've taken really good notes of Pastor's sermon today. I did put it on there publicly for anyone to see that the modern day people that's involved in all of this with President Trump have partnered with the Muslims and believe that they are not anti-Semitic because they believe in a monotheistic God where we do not. You know, they believe that we believe in a three God because of the triune God, you know, the Trinity. So thus, they reject us, talking about the Jews, they reject us because they do not accept Jesus as God. See, they believe that we're adding another God. You see what I mean? But the Muslims, because they are trying to say that the Muslims are a part of Jacob and Isaac, you know, Isaac and Ishmael. They believe that the Muslims is Ishmael and the Jews are Isaac. Okay. So they say that they're not anti-Semitic, even though they're killing them and it's in their doctrine to hate them, in their doctrine to murder them, you know. But in our doctrine, it doesn't say that, does it? You know, it just, they just can't stand Jesus. That's really what it boils down to. So why would you want to partner with them? No way, Jose. They need to get saved like everybody else needs to get saved. There's only two people on the earth, sinners and people that are saved, you know. So I'm going to stop there with my preaching, but I just want to encourage everybody today, you know, that for us to stand firm and to know what you believe, because you will have to answer for it, and there will be nobody else there with you. It's going to be you and Jesus, you know, and so you'll have to know how you believe type of deal, and believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, okay? So let's all go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for everybody, and then we will open up the lines, and you will be able to pray or whatever. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for this sermon today. We thank you, Lord, for giving Pastor boldness and giving him the anointing increasing, Lord. And we pray that that continues, Lord, that you continue to wake him up in the night, continue to give him dreams, continue to give him the word of the hour for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you encouraged us today to know that we know that you are our bread. You are our living water. You are what sustains us. And we thank you for that, Lord. I pray for every home that is listening. Lord, for all of our wayward children, we call our children in right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray you send a host of angels out to our children and send people out in the labor field that will minister to our children the way that they will understand you.
Amen.
Lord, send other people. Minister to them. Talk to them. Woo them back, Lord. Remind them of who they are in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would pull the demons back, Lord, so that they can breathe and think and come out of their delusion of darkness and come into the power of the light and come into the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
And that they would fulfill what they were called to do in the earth, no more bound. We break every chain and break every yoke off of our children. Yes, in Lord. The name of Jesus, Lord, yes. We speak peace over everyone's home, joy in everyone's home and in their hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, do you want to pray?
I think you covered it, but that's all right.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to turn the recording off, and then we'll go down the line for anybody that would like to say anything or ask for prayer.